sometimes when I was believing God for things, and that some of them would say, well, that's kind of weird, ain't it? You know, this faith stuff. I said, well, what denomination are you? And they would say, tell me, and I'd say, y'all better have some of it too. You can't please God without faith. I don't care if you're a Muslim, a Catholic, or whatever. You got to have faith in God. You can call yourself whatever, but you got to have faith. Every denomination must have faith. Without faith, you can't please God. I mean, by faith, we see Hebrews 11, that all of the things that were done in Hebrews 11, because of their faith. It says, by faith, Moses, by faith, by faith. I looked that word by faith up back in 1995 to see what it meant. And it says, when you go back to the original Greek meaning of that word, it says because of. Because they had genuine, God-given faith, they went in the lion's den. They built the ark. They subdued lions. They killed 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. Hallelujah. He outrun chariots of horses. Hallelujah. Prophesied to an army of dry bones and flesh begin to... That's faith. He said, can these bones live? See, now he knew the will of God. He knew what God was saying to him. How many of you know what the will of God is for your life? I mean, if you don't really know what the will of God, and people have told me over the years, well, I don't really know what the will of God is. And I always tell them, what does the Word say? What does the Word of God say? The Word of God is the will of God. And whatever you need to know that's not written in that Bible, if you are a seeker and an applier and a word student, then he will reveal where you need to live. Come on, somebody. He'll reveal where your ministry, he'll reveal what he wants you to do. And, you know, most of the time in my life, he revealed his will to me through the Word of God. And even where I live right now, I know that I am in the will of God. One thing I did is I knew that it was God's will for me to go to church in Hanceville. So I wasn't going to move off an hour and a half from Hanceville. So I looked in that general direction based on what I knew to be the will of God. You see what I'm saying? I had faith that it's going to come. I drove every back road. Took 10 years for my house to get to me. But I wouldn't let it go because I knew it was God's will to give me a brick house with some land and a shop on it, praise God. And I waited and waited. I wore Teresa out. Dry. See, faith, when you're in faith, you'll wear everybody will get wore out but you. I mean, you'll be the only one. You'll only be the only one still beating that ground. I mean, you'll just be like, it's coming. They're like, are you serious? It's coming. Are you serious? 10 years later, it's coming. When did you get it? When I asked for it 10 years ago. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive it, and you shall have it. Jesus said that. Mark 11. And God taught me. He said, when you ask me for something, believe you got it. He said, consider it yours. And then if somebody asked you 10 years down the road, did you get it? Yeah, I got it. Where's it at? Well, it ain't got to me yet. When did you get it? 10 years ago. And then I've told people before, this is how faith works. Faith knows the will of God, and faith is not even yours. It belongs to God. He gives it to you. It comes from the Lord. I mean, and that's how come the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. The Bible says those that do know God, know their God, will do exploits, extraordinary things. Hallelujah. I'm just a normal man with the Spirit of God in me. That makes you supernatural. You're better than Superman. There ain't even no kryptonite that can get you. Your life is hid in God through Jesus. Kryptonite weakened him. Well, you know what weakens us? Unbelief. If we get in unbelief, well, I know the Bible says I'm healed, but doctor says. You got to get your butt out of it. Stick with that word. What does God's word say? Well, my body say, no, what does God's word say? That's what we believe. The Bible says, by his stripes ye were healed. I was thinking about this when I went in and had open heart surgery 4 years ago, however long it was. And I made up my mind that when I went in there, I'm going in faith and I'm coming out in faith. And I went in faith. I had a family member there and they're all sad. I mean, Johnny, I can see it in their eyes, man. They're like, this might be the last time we see you. Because, you know, you got a 50-50 chance of coming out of open heart surgery, I guess, man. I didn't watch the videos and get the statistics. I already have mine. I already got mine. See, you already got to have yours. You got to make a quality decision about whatever you face or will face. What does God's word say? A quality decision is a decision made based on God's word with a no back down attitude. So I went in there and I'm laying on that bed and they prepped me and all that and fixed to come in and give me some of that good stuff. Boy, that morphine, whatever that stuff was. Oh, I told that doctor, right now, I can get some of that to take home with me. I didn't know nothing, man. I was just messing with him. Well, you know what? I'm laying there and he says, well, I mean, I talked to God. I mean, I talked to God. I prayed for you this morning. I'm not sure if he heard me or not. I said, well, you know what? I said, I'll see you after a while. I done talked to him too. I said, and I'm going in and out of there, but God. I said, I talked to him and I know what he's telling me. It ain't over till it's over till Jesus comes. I said, so I'm going in faith. And I said, and by the way, when I get out, I want you to come on to church now. I'm trying to get them in church and they're fixing to go in open heart surgery. I'm not depressed. See, when you're in faith, nothing by Paul was in bonds and chains. Paul was in prison. I mean, there they, Paul and Silas, at the midnight. These guys were natural men filled with the Spirit of God, had the God living on the inside of them, just like me and you do, but they was not emotional driven. They was not sight driven. They were driven by the Spirit of God and by the Word that they knew. Even to the point to where I think it's Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit showed up to Paul and he told him, he said, everywhere you go, you're going to have trouble, buddy. You're going to be in bonds. You're going to be in prison. You're going to be persecuted. He said, and then Paul says, none of these things move me. Lock me up. There they are at the midnight hour. There's a great deal of victory in that word to me. They are in the worst place they could be. They've been beat and whipped and thrown in prison, and they begin to sing praises unto God. They begin to magnify God in that mess. You know why? Because they knew the Word of God. They knew God was a deliverer. They had faith. And I'm telling you, a revival broke out in that jail, bless God. The doors opened and all of that happened and people got saved in there. Well, that's good stories. No, God wants that happening to me and you. God wants you to believe Him. God wants me to believe Him. Believe that He is a God, that God of the suddenlies. Believe that His, and I've had people to say, well, you know, I don't really know bad things that happen. I don't really know, you know, what the will of God is in this. I said, I do. What is it? It's Romans 8:28. That's the will of God. What does it say? For we know that all things work together for the good to those that are called according to His purpose. We're called. You're called. I've had Christians see why I'm preaching this. You got to know the will of God. If you don't know the will of God, Satan's gonna talk you out of the will of God. He say, "Well, he healed Doris, but you know she's probably closer than the Lord than I am." Have them thoughts. You know she prays, she testifies all the time, she backs into the stuff and don't whine. You know, her water bill went to $130, and she started to gripe and caught those thoughts. And I mean, the Bible says, take no thought saying. And then Satan will say, well, it feels like Doris. No, you got to get off of Doris and get on Jesus. Doris is not your example. And I'm just making an example out of Doris. I'm not your example. But you can look at people that obtain the promises of God, that are strong in faith, and pattern the way they do. Follow them as they follow Christ. If somebody's getting victory in their life, you can go to them and say, how y'all doing that? What are y'all doing? Like Monty one time, I hate to pick on you, Monty. We're all growing. Somebody say, we're growing. 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I mean, I've been in ministry a long time, been in the Lord a long time, but I feel like I'm a baby. Wait till I become a man, devil. Whoo, that sucker's had it. He's already had it. See, I went in there and I found out that Satan was stripped of all power. I found out that was God's will to strip him through Jesus of all power, and I've not been afraid of him since. You got it? That's been 22 years ago. Fact of the matter, I tell him, why don't you go ahead and try something, you idiot? I had to go, don't dare the devil. Man, you should just leave him alone. I said, there ain't no leaving me. He ain't going to never leave me alone. He's under my feet. I'm going to keep my foot on his neck. There's no weapon formed against me will prosper. Now I know the will of God. It's the will of God that no weapon formed against you prospers. It can come against you, but you stop it. So Monty and them going through their ordeal with their house a few years back, whenever it was. And, I mean, they're having a hard time with this thing. It ain't coming. They're fixing to be homeless. I mean, they know God, you know. And so Monty's, I mean, I'm talking to him, and I listen to him. And then he get in the van, and I just shut the door. I told him, I said, now, just go do what you've been trained to do. He had to think about that. What have I been trained to do? That's what you come to church for, right? Right? What do we come to church for? To get our marks in? Nah. We come in here, we are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are pupils of the Word. We're word changers, world changers through the Word. We're not here just having church. I'm not here just having church. I can have fun in the bar. I'm here for the will of God. I'm here for the power of God. I'm here to see people saved and set free and healed and delivered and grow like we are, like y'all are. But see, the more of the will of God that you find out, that you know, the stronger you're going to become. Now, when you do find out, you've got to take that faith and you've got to work it. I found out that it was God's will to prosper me in the Bible. I found out that it was God's will to prosper me, and I've been fought on that ever since. I've had people tap me on Facebook. Oh, there he goes, talking about his money. It ain't mine. The earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord, right? Amen. The gold and silver and the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine, says the Lord. He said, what I have is yours, because you're heirs and joint heirs. I found out that it's mine. So I've never been broke since then. I went through a great trial, had to learn to repent, and had to learn to trust God through some things and get in faith and failed and repented and all that. But once I got in faith and took a stand and, bless God, started standing on the Bible. Somebody say the Word. I stood on the scripture over there in 2009-10, whenever it was, that no man has left father, mother, land, brother, sister for my sake and the gospel. And we just covered that the other day, Sunday, wasn't it? You're supposed to have money. A lady told me one time, she said, well, Brother Weston, I just want just my bills met, and I'm happy. And I said, well, that's greedy. I said, well, just believe God to meet your needs, but believe him for extra chunks, big chunks in your house. I said, then whatever he gives you over your needs, bring it to me because I could use it. If you're just going to be happy just getting You like bill paid, and you can't go get but 1 gallon of milk in between. Just go ahead and believe and bring it over here, because we believe in big. We believe in for lands and buildings and box trucks, and we believe in to go all over the world. We're believing to start other. We're believing for a building. And I'm not talking about that one that's coming down from God. I'm talking about one down here. Because we got a revival coming in this land. We got a revival and the churches ain't going to hold it. We got some churches that won't let God in, and those people are going to get out. And they're going to go where God is. They're going to go where the Word of God is liberating. Give me the John, please, Beth. See, I know how it is to go through trials and God say, don't say nothing to the church. Driving to church to preach the gospel on empty for a month and ain't run out of gas yet. And I'm telling God, God, I could tell them, Lord, they'd take up an offering, man. Everybody ain't in this trial. I am. Everybody else has got it going. They ain't got no trials going on. Everything's good. He said, I thought you believed. He said, don't tell them nothing. Do you know how challenging it is? One week you're believing God to prosper, and then all hell breaks loose in your life the next week, and you all excited now. But now it stole your vision because of what you're seeing in the natural, and you have to go proclaim it anyhow. You have to go, don't whine anyhow. Don't say nothing anyhow. But you know what? God brought me out, and I can fill all of y'all's tanks up tonight, every one of you, with no problem. That'd be a lot of gas. I got a lot of money. You are too. You're wealthy. You're rich. Well, I wish I could see it. Get hold of it. I'm telling you, God's telling you. It's God's will to prosper you. Right here he said, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, that's me and you down here in this generation. We believed on him. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from fear. I found out that it's not God's will to worry. It is not God's will for me to worry. And then I set out, I seen that, and I thought, well, bless God, I've never heard that before. Jesus said that. So I set out, and I was a worrier. Boy, I mean, I worried about losing Teresa. Worried about, I hadn't been saved very long, see. And so I thought, well, bless God, if it's God's will for me not to worry. See, you can't see God's word as just, you know, getting on to you. God's word will liberate you, even if it is challenging you. But God's word is not, it's not to destroy you. God's word is to take you and set you free and move you up, move you into the things of God, move you into the confidence in God. And so, anyways, I worked on that. Somebody say, we got to work on it. If it's hard for you to believe God for your house, work on it. Get your word. Get the word. Get it in your mouth. Get it coming out of your mouth. My house is almost here. And everybody's like, he's an idiot. I'm like, it's almost here. Oh, did you hear what Scotty's saying? He's all the time saying, oh, God is a good God. God is a good. I heard a preacher one night in church. He said, God has been good to Shockey. I thought, glory to God, if he's good to Shockey, he's going to be good to Scotty. And I left that church saying out of my mouth, God is good to Scotty. And you know what? God began to show up for Scotty. That saying, I was expecting God to be good to Scotty. Now, Teresa, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And she just bust out laughing at home, like she did that Sunday, man. And it's kind of strange to me. I've been with her 38 years. That's just not her. She'll go, ha-ha. And I'll go, don't start that and cause me to do it. Just go through the house. She goes, ha-ha-ha. And I go, ha-ha-ha. She's crazy. So you know what? I walked through there, and she did that, you know, and then I thought, I'm going to see what it feels like. So I walked through there. She's in the shower. And I went, like I felt it. I'm like, uh-oh, I got to back off of that. I get up early tonight and start laughing. Ain't nobody coming back Sunday. But hey, if joy comes on us and takes us over, glory to God, let it come, right? Hallelujah. I'd be glad to be bowed up in my living room laughing uncontrollably, but praise God, by the Holy Ghost and nobody there. I would be glad that would happen. See, Teresa's talking about bringing God out of a box. See, unbelief limits God. The Bible says in Psalm 78, they limited the Holy One of Israel with unbelief. Those people that limited God, when they got to the promised land, they didn't go in, Mac. He waited till they died out, and this new generation went in. I'm not going to be that old generation. I ain't going to believe God for signs, wonders, and miracles. The Bible says that He works with them, doing signs, wonders, and miracles. What's that? That means supernatural increase. I mean, you're noticed at your job. This girl is an example about going to church. And I'm going to milk this baby dry. I'm going to use it. I've been preaching it for 30 years, 28 years, and I'm about church, you know. She goes off, she turns down $36 an hour on Sunday. Is that right? $36? You married a rich woman. Didn't even know it. Married a rich woman. She come down here and get saved. She done read about 80 books out of the library. Something like that. I'm close. I mean, she's checking them out all the time, reading them, bringing them back, checking them out, reading them, bringing them back. Praise God. And then you know what? She comes to a new season in her life where God puts her and gives her a good job. And she was promised not to have to work on the weekends. Well, it wasn't very long till that happened. And they said, well, you got to work on Sunday. And she says, I'm not working on Sunday. And they said, well, you know, you're going to get strikes every time you're not here. And she said, how many strikes do I get? And they told her, 3 strikes and you're out. She's fired. And she said, well, I got 3 more weeks to work here. That's a true story, right there it is. Forsake not the assembling. I preached that like Valley of Dry Bones here. I prophesy that. I mean, just about every service, I'm on Facebook land, YouTube, and all over the planet, man. And I mean, I'm telling people all over the planet, gear up, go to church, get plugged in, wherever God wants you. That's God's will. It's still God's will. Here I am again on it. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are. And as much more as we see the day approaching, provoke one another to good works. And he's talking about going to church. She ain't never got a strike. Actually got promoted in less than a month. Now her supervisor don't even ask her what day you want off. She goes and tells everybody else, y'all are all going to have to work this weekend, but she ain't. Won't let them off on Sunday. That stands for Jesus. She knew the will of God so that she had faith and fear. I'm going to lose my job. Well, who cares? God is bigger than the job. See, He's got to be bigger than our circumstances. You know, I mean, I'm threatened now that I've got to, that I can't preach. You know, I mean, not really threatened, but I mean, I done got banned off of YouTube. The gospel got me banned. Because I preached against COVID. Here I go again. Put it on her anyways. Ban me. Ban me. I'm not scared of COVID. You're not scared of COVID. We're not scared of that. The Bible says that no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. We gonna stand on that. No weapon formed against us to prosper. Only with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked. The Bible says every name that is named has about the name of Jesus. I know that's the will of God. So COVID has a name. Diabetes has a name. Right? I done drove shingles slap out of my body, shingles. I let it slip in on me. Had bandages around my leg, couldn't sit down. Come to church and I just about ready to stand up. But I didn't lay in a bed, Mac.
Oh, God, why did this happen to me? God, I love you, and I've got the food ministry, and I'll go to the jail. I'll do what I want. God, why me? God, why not me?
Why not me to show God's glory? Why not me? Why not me to have a little fight of faith there and put that devil under, put that sickness in? See, I done found out that sickness and disease is under the curse. Go read your Bible. Deuteronomy 28, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death. People say it's hard here, Jody. I don't know why. We got victory. We got Jesus. Now, you know, if I'm all in unbelief, I mean, you know, if I'm in a wrong spirit and all that, and Teresa goes, I'm like, good God, she's dumb. Dumb! If I'm all carnal Christian, you know, and I read across that, why Jesus spit in mud and put it in the eye? That's stupid. He could have just laid hands. I've heard people say it. Why would he do a foolish act like that? That's not foolish. He does things that confounds those wise that think they're wise. He tells a man to crawl to the altar, and somebody done told God, I'm going to church tonight, and if somebody crawls to the altar, I'm going to know you're real, and I'm going to give my heart to you. And that man crawled from the back of the church to the front, or vice versa. And when they did, that man went to the altar and gave his heart to Jesus. That might seem foolish to you or me. It don't to us, because we just open to what God wants. These people that on 9/11 that were following the Lord and hearing the Lord, and he told them not to go to the Twin Towers. Lay out of work. Don't go to work. Run late. Do this, do that. I heard it. Now, you didn't hear it on secular how those folk didn't show up and didn't get blowed up. But you heard it on the Christian stations and different things, the testimonies. I heard some of them personally that come on there and said, I don't know, God just came over me and I didn't have a reason, wasn't sick or nothing, and I wasn't there. I would have been on the floor that blowed up first. That's supernatural. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's me and you. And if we abide in the Word, continue in the Word. What does that mean? That means when sickness comes, and I believe that by His stripes I'm healed, and sickness attacks my body, don't take that Word and do away with it. Stand on it. Confess it out of your mouth. Let everybody call you a lunatic, but you'll be the one walking free. He said, because you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free from fear. I don't worry about nothing. I worked on it. I was amongst a bunch of preachers later on, and I'd worked on it, being a doer of the Word. How many knows the Bible says, be a doer of the Word, be an embracer of the Word, be a receiver of the Word, not a hearer deceiving ourselves, you know? And so I was in amongst a bunch of preachers, and they was like, well, you know, the devil, blah, 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 and we're worried about our church, and we're worried about this. And I stood there and just, you know, I waited until they all got done. I said, I don't worry about nothing. I ain't nothing I'm worried about. And one of them looked at me and said, Brother Weston, you got to worry about something. I said, no, you can't. I'm not. Well, you know how you don't worry? You cast. Cast. Cast in all your care, Paul said, over on the Lord. Cast your wife over on the Lord. Cast your kids over on the Lord. Cast your light bill. Cast your water bill. Cast your accident you just had. Cast it over on the Lord. The Bible says, casting all of our care. This is how we work on and are doing the Word. And I'm telling you, worry will leave you. Thoughts will come, but that dread and that unhappy feeling and all of that. I mean, fear, if you're a worrier, fear will cause you to say, good Lord, the economy's getting bad. It's slowing down. I already hear it. It's slowing down. And I say out of my mouth, not in my house. This kingdom economy is just flowing, and I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of my body. My cows are blessed. They're blessed. Why? Because I know the will of God. You know the will of God. Once you know the will of God, faith begins where the will of God is known. I found out that it was God's will for me to prosper. I found out that it was God's will for me to have a good marriage. I found out that it was God's will for my son has never raised his voice to me. Out of respect. It ain't out of fear. Yeah, I'm whooping. He better know it. If I can't, I still believe I can. Somebody believes they can, they'd be hard to deal with. Well, I believe I can do all things, right? Can't you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I would never raise my hand to my son anyways. I'd just put him in a hospital. Call the cops and let them break you. I'm being funny now. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens. I found out that it was God's will to prosper me financially. Give me that 1 John, Beth, please. You. Now, I already know it. And I'm already in it. And I'm going to lead you. And everybody I come in contact with, I'm busting that broke devil. I'm busting him. He's bankrupt. And bless God, we're not gonna be in lack because of unbelief here. We're not gonna be in lack because we don't know the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Once you find out God's will, then you set out and say, I just receive God's will right now. God's will is for me too, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, right? Overcome. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How does faith come? Romans 10:17. That's why it's important to get in your Bible and read your Bible and meditate on the Word and meditate on Scriptures when you read them and think about and go over the sermons that you hear and don't just hear it and don't do something with it. Pick it up and do something with it. I was on my way to church one night and the Spirit of God spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I could just see, He just made it real clear to me, I could see people coming to church and they were broke. I'm talking about these people were broke. And so they come on into church, and I go out there and open their glove compartment up, and I put $20 in there. I seen it in my spirit. And I come in, and how many knows they went from broke to money? Just like that. But I didn't tell them. So they went off, and they run out of gas. I mean, all this just flashed in my spirit. But then I seen me go in and say, hey, you know what? There's money in your glove box. They didn't run out of gas. They went and stopped and got their stuff. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to give that example and tell them that is exactly the way faith is. Take it up and use it. Faith is a tool. Just like money is the currency of the world kingdom. You want a gallon of milk? You got to go take some money over there. You don't walk in there and say, well, the Lord sent me over here and I need this by faith. You know what happens? You go to jail. They're like, you go put the milk back, buddy. You're like, no, God said, I'm getting this by faith now. By faith. You know, that's a flaky faith. Well, you walk out with it. But God, I got it by faith here now. You know, well, here comes these little blunts. Hey, come here, cuff you and stuff you and put you in jail. No, you use money, you go buy that. Well, same way over here with your healing. You use faith. And he's already purchased it. He's already, the Bible says, I mean, I'm sitting amongst some guys, and they're baby Christians, you know, and I understand. I want to give them stakes, man, right quick, you know, spiritually. I mean, I want to help them grow up fast where they ain't got to go through a whole lot, you know, just get hold of this stuff, move on with it. And so I said, it's God's will to I said, some of the church has a problem with the word rich. I said, can anybody here say it? They couldn't even say it, Johnny. We're thinking how a Bible study, not that stuff. That's just the attitude. I'm like, we're in it. We're in Bible study. Well, I found out in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians over there, give me that other scripture, that 1 John 1. I believe it's John 1. Whatever. What? Let's see here. Anyhow, I'll just quote it. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus. The Word was Jesus. He was with God. He came to earth through Mary, birthed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Word was with God, and then it came and dwelt among us, the only begotten Son of the Father. He was the Word made flesh. He was Jesus. I mean, he was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus did only what the Lord told him to do. And then he passed us on the same ability to do only what the Bible, what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Well, Corinthians over there, you can determine your financial future. Give me 2 Corinthians 9. I'm showing you the will of God here, that's all. You do what you want to with it. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort you, brethren, that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That scripture right there told me, God stopped me in 1995 when I read that, quickened me to that. And God said, see there, your financial future is not up to me. I've already settled it. He said, you decide the size of your harvest. Well, ain't that what it said? It simply says, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also. Now that created a problem for me. Johnny, that created, I was a dollar man. A dollar offering, that's all they getting. Like God, Teresa told me one time, she said, I go to church, man, and I pull out a dollar. That's all this church is getting, rich church. Look at all these people in here, man. They're coming up out there, they're riding them, you know, driving Camaros and all kind of stuff, getting out with their suede coats on, and, you know, coming on in here all decked out, and I'm wearing holy breeches. I had holy breeches. Every one of them had holes in them. They was holy. So I go in there and I pull out a dollar. She went, gosh, don't even give if you're just going to give a dollar. You're embarrassing me. Well, we're sitting on the front pew, too, like I could care less. If y'all don't like it, I'll keep my dollar. Gripe at me about that, and I'll keep it, too. Like, God, you won't get nothing. Well, see, I'm just in carnal now. And so that created a problem. Then I thought, I got to search out this thing about prosperity. So I'm laying in my bed one night, and I told God, I said, everybody that I hear is telling me that I am not supposed to have money, that I'm called to preach, and I signed up for poverty. I mean, honestly, that's what I heard out of most preachers. They would say, I'd tell them, man, I'm called to preach, and they'd say, boy, you're in trouble. And I'd say, how come I'm in trouble? Cause, man, if you go to church, them Christians won't give. You will go broke. I thought, man, is that so or not, you know? Well, I start evangelizing, and this lady pastor called me to come and do a service, you know, and when the offering went around, I then picked up on this right here, and I said, well, I'm going to sow into this offering. It's going to me, you know, but it's offering, man. I mean, you know, it's offering. I'm in church. This is a service, right? See, we got to renew our mind to this stuff. We got to get out of this. The offering's coming to me, so I'll just give big, and I'm going to get it back in. I didn't even have that thought. I thought, this is an offering. And he said, if I sow bountifully, then I'll reap bountifully. See, I done found out the will of God, so I thought, well. And then I did think, well, I can't lose this one here, you know. Well, you know what happened? When I put $20 in that offering. Other people give. And when I got the offering, it was $20. I'm like, hey, man, she stole my offering. That pastor stole my offering. I thought, man, that's not good. So there wasn't no cell phones or nothing. So I'm on the way home. I'm like, bless God, and I get there, Lord. She ain't gonna never do that again. Bless God, I don't want the money. He said, I thought you was preaching for nothing. I thought you was doing this because it's my will. He said, now you're complaining. He said, don't call her. He wouldn't even let me call her. Chew her out, man. Taking my money. Stole my offering. You know? And the Lord said, you didn't lose it. He said, sow it. He who sows, right? So I sowed that to that ministry. Praise God. Y'all pay me real good here. Every time I want a raise, I go to the Lord and I say, hey, Lord, you know, it's time for them to prosper. Time for them to prosper. I went to my secretary, which is my wife, one time. And I said, I believe the Lord wants me to have a raise. He ain't told me nothing. I started to fire the secretary right there in the fire. I said, well, I'm not. How many know the Bible said don't inquire with flesh and blood? What Paul said, he gave you a revelation. I ain't asking y'all if I'm supposed to get a raise or not. God put it on my heart now. Somebody give me a raise up in here. You know? And so it wasn't too long. Somebody that wasn't the secretary came up and said, I believe the Lord is saying you're supposed to get $500. I said, I agree in Jesus' name. Go to your secretary. Go tell her. I said, I just receive that right now in Jesus' name. That's what he told me. That's bearing witness with me. Pray God, just hallelujah. I ain't done nothing but prospered here. I've never paid the light bill here. I told God, if they get shut off, it's your fault. Bless God, I'm not taking my hard-earned money over there and paying the light bill for you, God. This is your ministry. Well, look, we got to look at it right. Now, if God tells me to pay the whole thing, I'll just pay it. But I'm not going to take the responsibility, and you shouldn't either, of your life. Your life belongs to God. Find out His will and just full well expect Him to fulfill His will in your life. And He'll take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. He'll take you where houses you didn't build, vineyards you didn't, you'll eat out of vineyards you didn't plant. You'll drink, I had to put a pump in that well at my house because there's a well on it. I'm going to drink out of that well. I didn't dig it. I put a pump. I spent time, boy. I sucked some water out of there. Oh, yeah, baby. There's you running me 28 for me. See, that's why, you know, when the enemy comes in, you know, to us and to you, when he messes with this church, you know what I tell him? I tell him, you should not have messed with this church, Jack. You messed with the wrong one. You mess with a church that knows God. You mess with a church that knows that He is a breakthrough God. That no weapons formed against you should have went and messed with that church down there that is full of unbelief. Stands up every service how the devil is doing this and this and this and this. But you come over here to this church and we got you under our feet and we're not going to fall for your lies. He tries to lie to you. Ain't no need in going to church. It's Bible stuff. Tell him, you liar. You can't tell the truth. If he could tell you the truth, he'd have to get on his knees and say, everything's real in the kingdom. God's real. Power's real. The heavens are going to come. Everything's going to... If he could tell the truth, he'd have to. He'd just fall down under the power and he'd have to. He can't tell the truth. Truth ain't in him. So the truth is you're healed and he'll tell you you ain't going to be healed. Truth is, God's going to bring you out with a strong hand. He'll tell you this time you're going to fail. He'll tell you, well, the last time God was able to do it, but this time He's not. He'll lie to you. He'll say, well, if you give that offer. So you know what I started doing? I went to the Lord and I said, you know what, Lord? I said, I'm going to carry an offer and believe, start believing for things. Will that be okay with you, Lord? And then the scripture came to me, give, and it shall be given unto you good in measure, pressed down, shaken together, running. I found a scripture in there where it says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His saints. And I'm not just talking about money. Money don't make me happy. Having God's will fulfilled in my life gives me great pleasure, great joy. To walk out of that hospital and recover speedily from heart attacks and different things and having to drag my body, it didn't want to go with me. You are not your body. You are on the inside. You need to have a revelation of that. Your body gets up and, "Mom, I don't feel good." Don't go, "Oh, I just don't feel good. Let me call Mama." Travis gets a little hurt or something, I'll tell him, he'll say, ow. I mean, he needs a Band-Aid every time. Little scratch, man. I mean, had one between his fingers. Ow. I said, "What happened?" I thought he done tore his hand off over there. I looked, and he had a little red spot there. I know it hurt, I know. And I said, "You want me to call Mama?" He's 30. Mommy. I done got Aiden toughen him up, man. He gets hurt out there or something, he'll go, "I need a Band-Aid, Bubba. Come on, boy." Go over to the service truck, get out an old rag, throw something around his finger and tape it up. Well, black tape, man. "There's your Band-Aid, baby. That's the way you do it. Now, go and play. You're good." He went a half a day and realized his Band-Aid was gone, and all of a sudden he's paralyzed. I mean, a half a day gone by riding that go-kart stuff, man. And then he realized his little Band-Aid's gone. He went, "He's freezing up over there." And I'm like, you're okay. That Band-Aid's been gone. You just didn't notice it. How many know that's the way faith is in our life? Bless God, things will come against us and we'll stand strong. And then Satan will say, "Ooh, didn't work that time. I went and tried to get Scotty Madden. It just wouldn't work." Teresa told me one time, I got to work more on it. She told the Lord one time, I'd like to be like Scotty. Nothing I do, nothing nobody does gets him mad, gets him upset. You know why? I'd set out and I found out in the Bible that Moses was the meekest man on the planet. And I went to God and I said, "God, I know that's your will." I said, "Lord, help me be a meek man." And then you know what the Lord did? He brought a scripture to me. It says, "Blessed is the peacemaker." And then the Lord said, "If you want that," he said, "then you've got to practice being the peacemaker." He said, "Practice being the peacemaker in your home when things are in turmoil instead of tearing it apart." Used to, me and Teresa tear everything apart. Punch the tires, everything, break the coffee tables, bust out windows. I mean, you know. We get saved in here, praise God, and now those old things are still wanting to work. You know, and he said, and I thought, man, she'll take advantage of me, man. And then I read in her where it says, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. But I wanted to tell her, you do your part first, submit to me, lady, and then I can do the other part. And the Lord said, no. He said, you do your part. Don't be concerned about anybody else. He said, you set out to love her as Christ so loved the church. He said, then she will submit to you because you are now under my authority and you're operating under an anointing that is not natural, and it'll go down and she will begin to desire to do that my word says. I saw that work. I mean, I get tired of ironing my clothes. I mean, I'd like to come to church wrinkled. I ain't been wrinkled in years. I mean, everything is ironed. I'm like, man, why can't I just be slouchy? Why can't I go to church wrinkled like Travis does every now and then? Nothing on you, Beth. Well, he looks cool to me. He probably gets the shirt he wore all week. Throws it on, and I'm up there playing the bass, and he's wrinkled. He's just wrinkled. I told him, he come in and he shaved. You know, didn't shave, but I thought, whoa, miracles happened. Glory to God, now he looks like somebody. Well, he just shaved it up and trimmed it up, and I was thinking, that looks a lot neater. But you know, that didn't change who he was. He's Travis. That changed how I felt about him. So I got to watch, and we got to watch how we perceive and feel towards people. Lady told me one time, and I'll try to close with this, but know God's will. Find out God's will. Pray about things. Ask the Lord, "Lord, is it your will to pray?" Don't take my word for it. Go in there and get that Bible. See if it don't come fire and come ablaze in you. You can't help but to prosper. You can't help but to be healed. You'll fight to your dying end. I mean, there's just something on, the Bible says, Paul said, it's him that works in us both the will and to do of God's, his good pleasure. See, God is a good God. So go to the Lord. Say, Lord, is it your will to prosper? Get in this word right here and say, is this really for me? This right here. And I know what he'll tell you. Yeah, it's for you. Yes, I don't hold any good thing to those that walk upright. You know how you walk upright? Faith. Not that you've got everything perfect. You're just going to stay in faith. You're going to keep walking with God. You're going to keep believing. And once you find the will of God, there's faith there to carry it out. And I mean, it'll carry you through troubled waters. It'll bring you out on the other side. It'll carry you through the Red Sea. It'll carry you across the dried up Jordan. I mean, it'll establish you in the Lord. And then you know what? Some of y'all, I'm telling you, before this week's out, you're going to see some turnaround in some stuff. Not because I said it. God told me. He said, I'm a God of a suddenly. All of a sudden, things are going to turn around. You're going to be like, man, that was quick, Lord. He's going to do a quick work. So I want to encourage you. Stay in that word. Don't get out of the word. Listen to some preaching if you can. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Don't worry, ever. It's actually sin to you to worry. Don't worry. Yeah, but you just don't know much. Don't worry. I don't know what we're going to eat. Don't worry. He said, don't worry about what you eat, what you wear, where you live, your car payments. And he didn't say all that, but I mean, we're on down here where we got cars. They didn't have them. They had camels. Thank God we ain't got camels. Could you see us? I could hear old Johnny coming in between them two humps, man. But you know, Jesus did ride a brand new donkey. He could have went and got a train and all that. And you know, I read that one time and I thought, why didn't he get one that wouldn't throw him, man? I mean, this one ain't never been rode or nothing, man. And the Lord said, I wanted him to have a brand new one. And I want you to have brand good stuff. He said, Jesus said, go down there and tell him I have need of it. It had never been broke or anything. And Jesus gets in there and, you know, rides in on a brand new donkey. See, there was a revelation. That was a revelation to me. That you can't find it in a car in there. You can't find that without the Lord. All of a sudden, boom, I could see it. And the Lord said, I want you to drive nice stuff. He said, just be thankful where you're at, but believe me big. So I started telling people, and I told them Saturday when I got up, I looked at that one dude that I wouldn't get no resistance from because God let the rest of them have what they want. I told him, I said, son, I said, believe big, but stay right. Believe big, but stay right. Believe God big, but stay right. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you, and we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can